The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Vice.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
This is Always Right Radio on AM 1420. The Answer. Here's your host, Bob France.
All right, hour number two has commenced. It is 8 minutes past 10 o'clock. Good morning once again. It is a Wednesday, the 27th morning of the third month, year of our Lord, 2024. It is, of course, Holy Week. Easter Sunday is right around the corner. So we're still talking about Israel. I'm going to stay with this for a moment or two in another conversation. I'm looking at this resolution passed by the Cleveland City Council. I'm looking at the fourth provision within it. Whereas the council and Clevelanders of all faiths and backgrounds have expressed profound concern for the innocent civilians suffering and are alarmed by the loss of tens of thousands of innocent Palestinian and American lives due to the war in Gaza. Further, this council calls for international aid to go immediately and directly to the people of Gaza. I need to just hit this real quick before we bring in our next guest. You don't speak for all of us, Cleveland City Council. I am not concerned in any way, shape, or form with the loss of tens of thousands of, quote, innocent Palestinian and American lives, end quote. Why? Why, Bob, why are you not concerned? Number one, because I don't believe they exist. Not to the level of tens of thousands. Who's given us those numbers? The Hamas Ministry of Health. You believe them? They're the murderers who did October 7th. Hamas is the murderous group that not only carried out October 7th, but long before October 7th and since October 7th have been launching rockets and missiles into Israel to kill as many indiscriminate Israeli civilians as they can. They're the ones I'm concerned about. So I don't believe the numbers, number one. And number two, I don't know if there are any innocent Palestinians other than the children, but the children are not being killed by Israelis. The Palestinian children are being killed by Hamas. Why? Because they are literally being used as human shields. Because they are literally hiding amongst them, putting their munitions in schools, launching rockets from schools and hospitals so the return fire will kill those kids and those civilians, knowing that the more civilians that die lead to more international condemnation of Israel as a state. I don't believe there are any innocent Palestinian adults. I gave you the survey earlier this week. I told you what the latest survey in Gaza indicates. 95% of the Palestinian people in Gaza declare that Israel has committed war crimes and that Hamas has not. Hamas didn't commit any war crimes when they raped women to death, when they butchered, when they tortured and killed over 1,200 people, wounded thousands more, and took hundreds of hostages on October 7, 2023. They don't think those are war crimes. They support Hamas. They elected Hamas to represent them and lead them. I'm going to care about the collateral damage, death of people who support the murderers and torturers? I'm sorry. We cannot be passing these types of resolutions. If you pass one in Cleveland, they pass one in another city, in another, 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 all across the country, and pretty soon the American State Department looks and says, you know, the people of this country have turned against Israel. They support a ceasefire. They support Hamas. Let's act accordingly. because they always act according to what? How the people feel so that they can get their votes. So I'm sorry, I'm not letting Mike Polencik and the Cleveland City Council off the hook here. It may be just a non-binding symbolic resolution coming out of Cleveland, and no, Cleveland's City Council resolution doesn't directly impact what the United Nations Security Council recommends. But damn it, it plays a role, especially if it's repeated by other cities and other communities and other councils or boards of commissioners and on down the line. Pretty soon it looks like all of America wants a ceasefire and doesn't want Israel to survive. And therefore they go to the United Nations saying, well, what they did, abstaining from the vote. Abstaining, not voting against and in favor of Israel, but abstaining altogether. All right, let's bring in Larry Levine now. Larry Levine is the vice president of the Israel Leadership Institute North America. You can find him online at LarryMLevine.com. He's also the host of The World Doesn't Need Another Podcast. Larry Levine, good morning. Good to have you. How are you, sir?
Yes, good morning to you as well. And I did not know about Cleveland, but I was just greeted with the similar resolution that was passed last evening in Columbus.
Aha! And it's, there you go.
So I don't know if... Yeah, and that's the whole danger to this, and Biden saying, "Oh, I don't understand why Netanyahu is upset." And then, of course, the other thing that happened after Biden did not veto the UN resolution is now Hamas says, "Well, we're going back to our original statement. We want unconditional ceasefire and permanent ceasefire." With, of course. Permanent ceasefire with Hamas just means Hadna, which is a temporary ceasefire until they get their more weapons back. So it's absolutely obscene what the Biden administration did. And in Columbus, I'm reading this thing. It says the release of hostages and detainees. Well, the people that Israel released or are proposing to release have blood on their hands. These are not people that are just being detained. They're people that have murdered Israelis and terror attacks. And, you know, when they say throwing rocks in Israel, a rock is like a mini boulder. They're not like rocks that you have here. I know somebody that was a rock was thrown off a bridge, and the guy is literally, and he's a you know, key person in the Israeli army, or was, and he is literally disabled. So, you know, these are not toys they have there. And to call these people detainees, which, one, they were put away into jail for a reason, and the hostages were taken by Hamas. This is obscene. And unfortunately, with anti-Semitism so high, this is going to really make it worse because I know people that are just, they're getting it from their losing friends because how, you know, you're committing genocide, all the garbage you're hearing. So it's really disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah, Larry, we're talking to Larry Levine, VP of the Israel Leadership Institute North America. I wish I had known about the Columbus resolution last night. I would have brought that up to Mike Polencik of the Cleveland City Council because of what I said to him. You know, he said, look, you know, he was somewhat defending the vote, saying, look, it's just symbolic. We're just, you know, Cleveland, it doesn't have any teeth. It's not binding. It doesn't affect anything. And my argument to him, as you heard me say in the introduction, is it does. Because when you do it, and now that I know Columbus does it, and Cincinnati does it, and Toledo does it, and we can go to all of the big cities and even the smaller cities in Ohio and around the country, when they all pass these resolutions, it makes it appear to our leadership in Washington, D.C., that we don't support Israel. And we think Israel should lay down their arms. They should no longer try to kill Hamas, even though Hamas has pledged as part of their charter and also just in statements since October 7th that they're coming back to do it again and again and again and again. Their words, not mine. When they have done those things and it looks like the American people are, you know, uniting against that Israeli effort that we choose peace rather than, you know, the defensive maneuvers that are taking place in Gaza in defense of Israel. Well, then that's how they're going to continue to vote on the United Nations level. And that's the pressure that's going to be put on. I can only hope that Benjamin Netanyahu is strong enough to withstand all of this, cowardice, if you will, from their supposed friends.
Well, in a perverse way, I believe that Netanyahu knows he is probably going to be toast after all this. That's what happened with Golda Meir after the Yom Kippur War. If they have to blame somebody, and even though he's not going down without a fight, in a strange sort of way, it sort of frees him up to do what he has to do. He can, you know, thumb his nose at Biden et al. For two reasons, because the election that's coming up, and also, of course, the fact that they're pressuring him, they're using him as a straw man. You know, it's Benjamin Netanyahu. The reality is,
well, look what Schumer said about him. Look what Schumer said, for crying out loud.
Yeah, shameless Schumer is what I call him. What he did was so bad, it stabbed every Jew in the back that has supported him over the years, which I was not one of them. I can say that. And they used him as the bad cop in this. And, you know, just Netanyahu is the problem. Just, you know, get rid of him. And the reality is, even though Israelis that I talk to complain about him all the time, and most were not happy with him, this is having the opposite effect in Israel. The ones that, just like with Trump, every time they indict him, he gets stronger. You know, Israelis are oppositional defiant, I call them. Once they hear that, they don't want anybody else telling them you know, what to do, since they're the ones, on every Israeli's on the front line there. And the bigger war, you know, this is during criticism during a war. And the bigger issue, there's two big issues nobody's talking about. Iran is close, if probably has some nukes at this point, and Hezbollah. I mean, Biden doesn't even mention Iran, who's the center of all of this. And Hezbollah is very, very strong. They have 50,000 missiles that have pinpoint accuracy, from what I've been told. And Israel is determined to not have to live like this. And they're going to go in, even though it could destroy half of Israel. Now, Israel has said they're not going to be careful if they have to go into Lebanon. They have to, because it's over 100,000 missiles, or 150,000. But when you're talking pinpoint accuracy, you're talking every inch of Israel is covered now. So no country can live like this. And they're going to need weaponry coming up, because there's definitely going to be a war. 60, 70,000 Israelis have not been, you know, they've been displaced as well. And when you look at, you know, you talked about the numbers, that you don't believe the numbers, and I don't, of course, believe them either. And even in, like, Columbus, Ohio, they're saying, oh, there's over 30,000 Palestinians killed, without mentioning that a good portion of those are, they call them militants, I'll call them what they are, evil, disgusting terrorists.
Yes.
They don't count those in those numbers. So, and when you think that there is 2 million in the Gaza Strip, and they have gone in for 5 months, that's really, it's bad. Every Palestinian or innocent, and there are some kids, you mentioned a one-year-old's innocent, every one of those is a terrible thing. And as an American, as a Jew, as a human, I hate to see that. But the reality is, you know, 15,000 deaths among, you know, or whatever that real number is not a lot, considering the amount of time they've been in there. And even though most of Gaza is destroyed, that's because, as you know, they hide behind their own civilians.
Of course.
They're in hospitals. Nobody's questioned why there was, you know, over 1,000 Hamas members in the Al-Shifa hospital. Oh, and my theory was, it's really innocent. They all had their yearly medical test scheduled the same day. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, that must have been it. Just coincidental. They just all happened to have their same.
They had their yearly convention, and then they couldn't get emails, so, you know, the Israelis' fault, and they just happened to show up. So just, and the way the world looked at it is just obscene.
I want to go back, if I can, Larry. We're a little pressed for time here. I want to ask you more about Iran, because you're right when you said Joe Biden has not even mentioned Iran, not just in the in terms of the recent UN resolution, which they should, because, you know, China and Russia are two of the five permanent members of the UN Security Council, which is just insane that Russia is on the Security Council, considering they invaded a bordering state, you know, and completely violated their sovereignty, and China continues to do what they do with Taiwan and so forth. But nonetheless, they are the two most staunch allies of Iran in the world. You know, China and Russia led the ceasefire vote in the United Nations Security Council. Joe Biden hasn't brought that up one time. Blinken hasn't brought it up one time. Kirby and other people that are talking about, you know, our policy there has brought that up one time. And guess what? Iran funds Hamas, Hezbollah, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Houthis, all of them, for crying out loud.
And of course, Iran's making drones and missiles for Russia.
And then there's that. That's that part of that alliance. Right.
That's right. And I just want to say one thing. There is 80 to 100,000 in the Jewish community in Cleveland. You have to think really hard about your vote this fall. I know you, some of you don't like Trump. I understand that he talks out of turn, so on and so forth. But he is as pro-Israel as you get. Don't believe the lies. He does not like Netanyahu. It's a personal thing. But this never would have happened if he was in there. And he, to this day, would support Israel to the death. He has always been a friend of the Jews, to Americans, of course. You have to think very, very hard, because you're voting, if you vote for Biden, for one of the worst presidents in history for Jews. Obama was the worst. But this year, we do have some presence out there. Don't vote for a Democrat. Send them a message. And you'll be surprised privately how many Jews tell me that. They're either, you know, they don't like Trump, but they understand what's happening finally. So they'll hold their nose and vote for him. Or don't vote for your Democrat. And it does make a difference. Especially Ohio is a Trump territory, but and I'm sure you have listeners in Michigan. We can have an effect, and it's time to wake up and realize that the country, through the Democrats, is becoming hostile to Jews and to Israel.
Yeah, not just becoming, has become, is already. And by the way, just super quick on this, by the way, you're spot on, by the way. We have to support Trump. I would probably push back a little bit on the, well, just if at the very least, don't vote for your Democrat. I think you have to actively support Israel's survival and, quite frankly, the survival of the United States. You have to vote for Trump, even if you do indeed find him distasteful, find him problematic for a variety of reasons. It is clearly the right thing to do. But just briefly about this, you know, you said he doesn't like Netanyahu. It's a personal thing. I'm trying to figure out why. Because Benjamin Netanyahu is the Israeli Trump. As far as I'm concerned, he is unapologetically Israel first, just like Trump is America first. Netanyahu is Israel first. We will protect. We will fight. We will stop those who are trying to kill Jews and to wipe us off of the face of the earth, wipe us into the sea, and so forth. He's very, very Trumpian. I can't understand why Trump, who is, decidedly pro-Israel, wouldn't be on, you know, a stronger supporter of a guy who's just like him.
Well, I'll give you the short answer, which is a vast understatement. I love Trump. I'm going to vote for him. I'm by the way, head of the Jews for Trump Ohio. And when they asked me to do this, I said, "You mean all five of them?" That was in the beginning, in 2016. So I'm going to do it again. He's slightly thin-skinned. Now, I know there's lightning coming over me now and thunder clouds, and he was upset because Netanyahu, who had to, congratulated Biden for the win. So, and it's probably
that's
a couple
it.
Other things,
but that's it because Netanyahu.
I really do think that's it. I've asked people who know him, and you know, he's thin skinned.
But that's beyond thin skin if that's the reality of it. If he's really just mad because what did he want Netanyahu to do? Say, no, I don't recognize Biden as a president. Trump's still my guy, even though he's out of office. What do you want him to do?
He was. I believe he was upset because Netanyahu was one of the first ones. And Netanyahu said the same thing. What do you want me to do? I have to do that.
Yeah, so of course he does.
My guess is if Trump wins, they'll patch it up. Okay. That's what I think. And as strange as it is, the simplest thing is usually the right answer. I think that's what it was, because I can't get any other answer for that.
Yeah.
So Well, you know, it, and they'll patch it.
If that is true, it. Well, never mind. I don't want to dwell on it because, like you said, we have to support Trump no matter how insane he may be in matters of things like this. If there's a personal situation here that affects his support for the leader of our ally there, our friendly nation of Israel, that's just beyond my understanding.
Thank you so much for having me on, and especially today of all days because of that greeting that I got from our local wonderful city council, which, by the way, the prosecutor there that's running, I believe, and I can't confirm it yet, it's a Soros, one of those Soros prosecutors. She does not want to jail anybody. That's she calls it. We want a lower incarceration.
We just had somebody just like that defeated in our primary. There was a Soros prosecutor just like that, same exact thing, who was just defeated in the Democrat primary by the incumbent, who is a Democrat but a strong on law and order guy. So we just headed off one of those. I hope you guys can defeat threat down there.
Nobody's talking about it, and her name is Favor. So folks, do us all a favor and don't vote for her, or you will have Columbus become New York or San Francisco.
Yep, that's what we worried about, too. Larry, we'll talk more about that as we get closer to November, too. That's an important one. And if there's people who live up here or who maybe work up here or listen up here but who vote in Columbus, certainly we would like to shine a light on that, too. Larry Levine, follow his work at LarryMLevine.com. Listen to his podcast. The world doesn't need another one, but he's doing one anyway. Larry Levine, thank you. We appreciate it.
Take care of yourself. Thanks.
10:29. We'll be back on
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.